Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of Pageant Chats with House of Pageantry. Today, actually, we have another pageant girl who is actually based in South Korea. Funnily enough, the hours are very, very different. So thank you so much for doing this interview with us. So with that being said, introduce yourself. What is your name and what does it say on your beautiful t-shirt?
So my name is Dominique Marie and I am Miss USA Curve 2020 and the Miss International Curve pageant.
Congratulations. What made you want to enter Miss Curve International?
So when I model here in Korea, and with COVID, it was just kind of like looking for different communities to join. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that there was a beauty pageant for curvy women, I was like, I have to be a part of that. So I looked up some things and saw that it was legit and it wasn't like something that somebody had thrown together, and that I wasn't too late to apply. I applied and I'm here.
Congratulations. So when is the final?
So it is October 27th in the UK.
Ooh, so you have to travel all the way from South Korea to the UK. How many hours is that?
I think it's only 12.
Only?
Well, yeah. Because it's like for me going home, that's a 14-hour plane ride. And I'll take the plane straight from here to Atlanta. And that's 14 hours. And I sleep and I eat and I watch TV and I'm good.
Wow. I don't know why, but 12 hours, I don't know what I would do for 12 hours. I mean, what can you really do? You're on a plane. There's nothing much you can do. Is it comfortable?
Depending on how you fly, it is. I always fly Delta and the seats are comfortable. This last time I went home, I was blessed to be able to fly Delta One with the bed and I slept the whole time. So it was great.
That's fancy. So so I guess what I'm asking is, what do you know much about Miss Curve International? Do you know what rounds they're going to be?
So there is, of course, you have your interviews when you first get there. There's swimwear. Because it is Miss International Curve, there is traditional wear, like from your country. And there is the formal wear.
So have you thought about what you're going to wear for the traditional round?
I have. And because I am based in Korea, and Korea is kind of like home for me also, I was like, oh, I should do something where my outfit turns from like a hanbok, which is the traditional Korean wear, to something with the American flag on it. Mm-hmm. I noticed that one of the queens from last year, Lara, she wore her flag. And I was like, oh. I don't know if I want to do that. So giving a nod to the African-American culture in America, my outfit, and the fact that I'm a military brat, it's going to be based on the Buffalo Soldiers. And that's all I'll say.
Okay, so I'm not going to dig you a bit more to find out like the colors and everything. But did you say you was military based?
I'm a military brat, yeah. So that actually is how I got to Korea the first time. I graduated high school here, mm-hmm. and then I left and lived life in the States, went to university, and was like, I want to live internationally. Where will I go? And so then I came back to Korea.
Okay, interesting. So what is it like living in Korea as a Black woman?
It is, in my perspective, I'm a celebrity. So in some parts of Korea, they've not seen Black people in real life, only on TV. Mm-hmm. I am a voluptuous woman. I love my curves, but I'm a curvy woman. And I have natural hair. And so if I have like my big hair out, hands are all around, you know, to touch. The fact that I am curvy, the ajumas, the older women here, like to touch my curves. So I am touched a lot depending on where I am. For me, I use it as a teachable moment. You know, hey, wait a minute, ask first, you know, you can touch my hair. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's what it feels like. Or no, my skin, it won't rub off, you know, or yeah, my butt is real. Instead of getting angry about it, so I try to use it as a teachable moment and a chance to kind of bridge the cultures. I speak enough Korean to where I can, you know, explain that it's not appropriate to touch, you know, or explain like where I'm from and such. So it's great. The people are really kind here. I love the food. Where I live now, I'm working on the military base now. And so it's like America in Korea. So that's a little bit different, but I love it.
Oh, that is so amazing. Can you say something in Korean to us?
안녕하세요. 도미닉 선생님입니다. And that's just basically like, hi, my name is Dominique. I'm a teacher. Yeah.
Oh, well, so when you say you're a teacher, do you mean like secondary school teacher, high school teacher, or in a military?
So I'm teaching on the military base. I'm currently teaching fifth grade, and the fifth grade here is housed in the middle school. So unfortunately, the fifth graders don't get to be the big people on campus. They're the little fish in the sea. And that started last year because we have so many people here. I think there are over 11,000 people on our base. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me, but there are like thousands of people on our base. We have 1,000 kids plus in our school. And that's just the middle school. We have 2 elementary schools and a high school. But I'm credentialed to teach science, all the sciences. I used to teach AP chemistry, and I fell in love with teaching the little people. So I'm teaching elementary school now.
Oh, wow. I could never. So I'm a secondary school teacher as well. But I teach, you teach primary. That would be, I think elementary school is like primary school here in the UK. Sorry, there's something flying. But I teach secondary school. So I think that's high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I teach them because I can't, like, I don't have the capacity within me and the patience to work with the little ones. They're just too much energy for me.
And that's why I like it. When I first started teaching, I was teaching AP chemistry, and I loved it as well, the connection, the mentorship. Mm-hmm. And then I started teaching third grade, and it is an adventure every day. Like, I could have my whole day planned. This is what we're going to do. And then somebody brings up a question about butterflies and tigers and can they mate? And I'm like, no, they cannot mate. But let's talk about this in this area or whatever. So I try to make it fun and kid-centered. And it's an adventure every day. I love it.
Wow. I can only imagine. Well, so let's go back a bit more about like pageantry. So you said you was looking at like opportunities of things that you can do during COVID. And yeah, so things that you can do during COVID, and especially because also you model. How has it been like, have you been able to do anything for your pageant or raise awareness for your pageant during this season of COVID?
So I have, because I have the platform of being Korea's first Black plus size model, I've kind of used that to my advantage. I have had a couple of radio appearances. I actually was able to plan the first ever Juneteenth celebration that happened on a military base, and it was very successful. So I've been doing things in the awareness of Black culture and Black lives mattering. However, when I initially started, mental health is near and dear to my heart. And I know that a lot of queens will do something centered around mental health. But because of my own story with mental health and like different traumas that I've had in my life, I decided to couple those together. So my campaign is Speak Out. And it's basically speaking out about your mental illness and advocating, especially those who have experienced a trauma such as sexual assault. So I've kind of coupled the two of those things. Mm-hmm. I've partnered with the SHARP, I don't really want to call them office, but organization that's a part of the military, which is about bringing awareness to sexual harassment and sexual assault, and helping advocate and with the process of litigation. And so it's been fun exploring those areas and just giving back to the community. I'm not really big on when I do a service project or giving back, like actually like taking pictures. So that has been very interesting for me. Like, oh, I have to capture this moment. Okay, let's can we have a picture of me, you know, doing this thing that I'm doing from my heart? Yeah. Yeah. So that's been very different for me, but nonetheless, any way that I can bring awareness to those things that, you know, are near and dear to my heart and that other people may not be familiar with or exposed to, I do it. So.
Oh, nice. Do you miss home then a lot?
I don't. That may sound bad. I go home every summer, and this is the first summer that I've not gone home. Mm-hmm. And I didn't go home because of all of the COVID stuff going on in the States and not wanting to contract the virus. Korea, life is back to normal here. Mm-hmm. We still wear masks everywhere we go. We're social distancing and such, but our numbers are very, very low, and I would like to keep myself safe. So I've just been like FaceTiming with my family. My two youngest sisters graduated high school this year and they'll be going to uni, you know, in the fall. So I've missed that, but I'm okay. So yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. But congratulations to your little sisters for making it to university.
Yeah.
So you said your platform was all about mental health and again, mm-hmm. I guess also about sexual violence and domestic violence.
Yes.
My question to you would be, what have you learned so far when you're researching and looking into those type of areas? How can you, or how can we as Black women help women within our community or women of color more?
The biggest thing is people telling their stories. Mm-hmm. I was molested when I was in first grade by my mom's boyfriend, and I was also kidnapped, sexually assaulted, and physically assaulted the summer before my senior year in college. And for me, openly sharing my story has brought a lot of awareness to it for the people around me. And I was very shocked to learn, like, even some of my students that, you know, I shared my story with, they, you know, come to me and say, like, this happened to me and I don't know what to do, or you give me hope, like, you're living like this never happened to you, like, so I have hope that, you know, I'll get over the trauma of it one day. So I think that just telling our stories and letting people know that they're not alone is the biggest part of it. A lot of us have a story to tell, whether it's, you know, we've just been sexually harassed or we've been sexually assaulted. And I think that, you know, speaking out not only lets people know that it's okay, you're not dirty, this is not your fault that you, you know, have experienced this trauma, but also the advocation part of it with these are some ways to help you get through this, because you will get through it. And just believing women when they tell you, only 2% of accusations are false.
Yeah.
So a lot of people like to focus on that 2% and say, well, she's probably not telling the truth, or she's lying, or even he, you know, is lying. But 98% is far greater than 2%.
Of course. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, because I think, like you're saying, like, I think you are being a role model and like a spokesperson to many. And I'm sure, like, after this recording and this video comes out, you probably will get women that will message you and tell you, you know, thank you so much for sharing this, because I think it is something that within our community, within the Black and colored community, that we actually don't speak about. And I think this is why, sorry, I have really bad hay fever today.
Sorry.
Thank you. This is something I think pageants allow us to really voice our opinions and voice out things that no one really tends to speak about a bit more. And I think, yeah, I just want to say thank you for taking that as a platform on and saying, you know what, I'm going to stand with women of color and Black women and say, you know what, we need to bring change to this, and I'm going to be a voice for that. And I think you already are inspiring the new generation to feel more comfortable and confident in speaking up about it. So thank you.
Yeah.
So I want to hear a bit more about being a curvaceous woman, because now you're actually my first curvaceous woman that I'm interviewing. And I'm quite curvaceous, but it's just my bottom half. And I found out that, like, when I was growing up, I found it very challenging within the beauty industry to really strive forward. So how has it been for you as a curvaceous woman within the modeling and even now in the pageant industry?
So I will say, as a Black plus size model in Korea, I am the sexy one. So because I have, they call it an S line, like my hips and my waist ratio is 20 inch, it's a 20 inch difference. Mm-hmm. So because of that, when I do a shoot, it's always like tight clothes, like show the curve.
Yeah.
And I have had some flack from some friends and some people in the community telling me you're not plus size, because I don't have a big belly, or I don't have the type of curves that they want me to have. And I'm like, I'm just as plus size as you. We just are different shapes. Like, plus size comes in different shapes. So being able to represent the curvy woman is a big deal, because it representation is everything. And it just shows that, you know, I am a Black woman that's beautiful, and I'm also a plus size woman, and we're beautiful too. So that's a big thing for me.
You know, I've come to realize, I don't know who has created these labels, but I think there's these labels, and if you don't fit into that label, it becomes a situation whereby people are saying, oh no, why do you classify yourself as that? Because for the longest, I thought I was petite and curvy. But then when I want to enter certain competitions where they're looking for plus size models, they then say to me, I'm not plus size enough. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
What advice would you give? Because I'm quite slim here. And then it goes literally like that.
So your parachute, hug me.
Yeah, basically. So you said you have a 20-inch difference. I have a 10-inch difference. So, a 20-inch difference as well. So I'm like a 46 at the bottom, inches, or centimeters, inches. One of them. I'm 46 in the bottom, and then I'm a 26 at the top.
Wow.
So
yeah.
Do you see what I'm coming from? And then I'm also, and then I'm a bit heavier here as well. Short. So where would I fit in, or what advice would you give a girl like me?
So I think that, and this is what I told the ladies here, keep going until you get a yes, because you're going to be someone's cup of tea. I've done a couple of things for boutiques in the States. I was able to do a photo shoot for Miami Swim Week last year, and I never thought that I would be able to do that, because I'm not like Ashley Graham. Like, she's like toned and big, and I'm kind of like, I'm loose. So I'm working on that. And I don't have big boobs. And so, like, a big thing, like, if you look at most plus size models that are curvy, they're curvy everywhere. And like you, I'm a pear shape. So I think just keep going. Like, somebody's going to tell you yes. So don't stop until you get the yes. If it's something that you're passionate about, then keep going. Like,
yeah,
force the envelope. Like, you don't have to change yourself to fit in someone's box. Make them create a box for you.
Yeah, I like that. I really, really do. Do you know what? It's so nice to hear that you're saying that, because it leads very nicely into my next question that I have, which is, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Don't be so quick to grow up. Enjoy your youth and don't isolate yourself. I have always been an old soul. I'm the eldest of six. And growing up, I always wanted to be married. So I concentrated on dating more so than creating like strong friend groups. Like, I had a group of friends, but I was dating this guy that was older, and so I focused more so on that than connecting with that group of friends. And so that's the thing that I feel like I'm missing right now. Like, I was so into everyone else and into this person that I forgot to take care of myself. And I feel like I'm paying for that now with trying to rediscover who I am and be confident in who I am in every asset. I'm a pretty confident person, but when it comes to like things that I feel like I missed out on, I start to second guess myself. And I think that my younger self, if I had have just been living for the moment and not trying to rush growing up, that I would have been happier. I wouldn't have gone through as many trials that I went through. And I may be in a different place, but I really think that I'm exactly where God intended for me to be in this season. So I don't know if it would have changed me being in this pageant or not, or what my career field is right now. But I think that as far as like my self-worth and that part of the confidence, I think that it would be different.
Wow. I love that. I really do. So with that being said, like, what are your aspirations in terms of like future pageant and modeling? Like what is the future like for you?
So it's difficult living overseas. I love being American, but I love living overseas. I love the opportunities it affords me to travel cheaper. And being an educator, I get all of these breaks where I get to travel. So it's exciting. future career wise, I want to be the Secretary of Education in the United States.
Yes.
I also want to build my own school there, and I want to build a school in Africa, in Botswana. Modeling wise, I have aspirations of being a global model. Like, I want people to call for me. Like, Dominique, like, can you come to Paris? Like, we just need you for the weekend. And I'm like, yeah, girl, come in. You know, I think that it would be cool. I want to be an international name, period. Whether it's for the work that I've done through changing policies in education, through the volunteer things that I do, or just being a positive influence on young women. I want to be a household name in a positive way. And so that's, I feel like that would be an aspect for it. For as far as pageants, I'm really looking forward to this one, and it's my first one. I want to look into doing others. I found out that there are full-figured pageants in the States. Like there, I met this girl on Instagram, and she is Miss Full Figure Alabama. And so I was like, wow, so this is not Miss International Curve. It's not the only one. You know, there are opportunities in the States for stuff like that. And so I'm really looking forward to getting my feet wet with this one and then exploring other pageant opportunities as well.
Oh, so there's so much more room for creativity, exploring, growth. You know, that's so amazing to hear. But do you know what? We've actually come to the end of our interview. How can we connect with you? How can we stay up to date with the things that you do?
So I am on Instagram. My pageant Instagram is Miss USA Curve 2020. And my personal Instagram is Ivy N Da Rock, I-V-Y, the letter N, D-A,
okay. I'll put it all on writing. I don't know.
Yeah. And those are my social networks. I'm not really on Facebook. I'm on Facebook for family to stalk them. I try to update my Instagram often, but it's more so in the story aspect. I have to start actually posting things on the page. I forget about that. Yeah.
Great. Dominique, thank you so much for speaking to us. Thank you for having chats with House of Pageantry. We will connect soon on social media, I guess.
All right. And thank you for this opportunity. It was great.
Oh, thank you so much. Speak to you soon. Bye.
All right. Bye.